Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
Hello, hi, Tim Andrews here. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, as they bring the album to life in its entirety, along with all of your favorite Beatles favorites. Don't miss them at Atlanta's Fox Theater on February 11th, 2018. Tickets are on sale now and available at foxtheater.org or by calling 855-285-8499 or visit the Fox Theater ticket office. Ticket prices are $35 to $85 plus applicable fees. Me, I'm a longtime Beatles fan going back to when I was about 7 or 8 years old and found my mom's Beatles records in her record collection. And joining me today on Radio Labyrinth is Paul Curatolo, who, by the way, does Paul McCartney. And he sings and he plays bass, piano, and guitar. Paul Curatolo, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you in Atlanta. I am a huge Beatles fan going back to when I was a little kid. I discovered the Beatles probably around 1979 or 1980 when I found my mother's LPs. I found she had Meet the Beatles and A Hard Day's Night, but nothing after that because she was a big Elvis fan, and I guess she might have been a little too old for the Beatles. But you have pretty much grown up with the Beatles your entire life, right?
That's true. Yeah, and I'm a youngin, so I'm one of the third-generation Beatle fans.
How old are you?
28. But don't hold it against me.
I'm not holding it against you at all. I love all generations of Americans, especially if they're Beatles fans. So, how did you get into being a member of Rain? Because I was doing a little bit of research. Your father was in Beatlemania?
Yeah, he started in Beatlemania when he was about 18 years old. He joined Rain when he was 23.
Okay.
Rain had already been established as a Beatles group since 1975. And he's been with them ever since. So you could say I knew some people.
You knew some people. Now tell me about it. Did you go to the Beatle? Beatlemania was on Broadway. Am I wrong about that or am I correct?
Not at all. Yeah, they were on Broadway. They were also, they spanned across the West Coast and they had a touring cast as well during their run way back then.
And now, what exactly are the origins of Rain and how do you get into something like that? And yeah, go from there.
Well, Rain spans back to like circa 75, Mark Lewis's group. He still manages the band. Back then, he was playing keyboards with the band as well. And they were just kind of like a cover group. And when they do Beatles nights, they noticed that it was growing in popularity. People really preferred and wanted to hear the Beatles music, especially the way that they performed it in such accuracy. So they started tailoring their act to just performing all the Beatles songs, changed the way they spelled their name, because initially it was spelled like Reign of the King.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed their name to Rain as we know it now. And ever since then, have just been fine-tuning their show to really emulate the Beatles.
How many of the Beatles songs do you know? Can you play all of them?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. You know, I know them all. Some of them are going to take just a minute just to blow the dust off of. But for the most part, yeah, I tend to try and play through all of them when I rehearse and just when I'm messing around at home, just because they're all so good. Every single one is proper.
It must be increasingly difficult to play them as they grew as a band, because you start off with the pop music and then eventually you get to Sgt. Pepper and Rubber Soul and Hard Days. No, not Hard Days Night. Abbey Road. Increasing difficulty of the music, not in that it was difficult to play, but there are so many elements that George Martin produced, especially for Sgt. Pepper. So that's my next question, is how do you bring an album like Sgt. Pepper to life on stage?
I'm glad you asked that. It's really interesting. We have five members on stage, so we have a keyboard player that plays all of the stuff that the four of us can't perform live by ourselves, so that everything is performed live during our show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, you know, I'd say that the Beatles couldn't have done when they were putting together Abbey Road because of the lack of technology and the lack of band members. So it's really interesting to watch an audience watch us pull off an album that seems so inconceivable live.
It's an interesting album in that it wasn't really, it was the Beatles, But they went in and spent a lot of time. And like I said, George Martin really orchestrated all the sound, at least as far as I know, and probably worked a lot more with McCartney. And again, it's just going to floor me when I go to the show and see it live, because, you know, you don't get that opportunity. You'll never get that opportunity to see the Beatles do it live. Here we have the closest facsimile that you're ever gonna get. So what are the reactions from the crowd, especially from people who grew up in the original era of the Beatles?
People seem to really be enjoying it across the board, you know, almost as much as we do, because we're super fans first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sharing that with the audience every night. You know, we don't claim to be the Beatles or anything like that. We're paying tribute to their legend. So, I mean, to be able to perform such an intricate and mind-blowing record every night is such a pleasure. And the audience seems to really just enjoy some of the more obscure songs off of that record that they haven't heard live before.
One thing I'd like to hear live someday is The Second Side of Abbey Road. Because when you play it on your CD player or you put it on shuffle, it sounds so disorganized. But when you listen to it all in one shot, it's such a great performance piece. And have you guys ever done that?
Yeah, we have, absolutely. And you know, the time is coming, you know, as that celebrates its 50th year, who knows, we might do that.
Hey Radios, it's Tim. If you really enjoy Radio Labyrinth, please share it on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Radio Labyrinth and on Twitter, @Radio_Labyrinth. That's @Radio_Labyrinth. You can also support us each and every month at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up at any level. We have some great tiers and some great prizes. This week, let's welcome Wayne Blair and Nick Frank to the group of radios. They signed up at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Nick. Also, thank you to Wendy Muller, Buck Monterey, Trent, Jeremy Truman, Dallas Walker, Herb Lamb, Rusty Weinberg, Kevin Stokes, JB, Keith Tate, Chad Shepard, Chris Weiland, Ryan Humans, Darren Downey, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Brian Jackson, Dustin Lawler, Zach Pittman, Beth Van Elswick, Jose Perales, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, and Amber Gilpatrick. Again, thank you guys very much for being supportive of Radio Labyrinth. And if you would like to donate, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
To get back to the audience, now I suspect that there's boomers, a lot of baby boomers, and probably a lot of Gen X. But again, the Beatles are a band that has appealed to multiple generations going all the way back to the 60s up to now. So when you see the audience, you look out into the audience, what's kind of the age demographic?
Oh, well, I see the baby boomers, I see their kids, and I see their kids' kids, you know. So I'm seeing everything from toddlers up to the people who are sitting in front of their televisions the night that the Beatles played on the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everybody in between, and everybody, if anything, the younger kids have become more super fans than the parents. You know, the younger kids are telling their parents little tidbits of information throughout the show. Do you know that Paul McCartney actually did this during this era? And the parents are going, no, I didn't. He says, well, yeah, you should try YouTube.
I did that when like I said, my mom had those first two records. And it got to be about the summer of 87, and there were a lot of specials on TV about Sgt. Pepper being at the time the 20th anniversary. And so I said to my mother, why didn't you get into Sgt.? Well, why didn't you have Sgt. Pepper? And why do you only have these first two Beatle records? And being that she was 18 when Hard Day's Night came out, she said, well, they got too bizarre for me. And, you know, I laughed at her. I said, well, they're not bizarre. They're fantastic. But I kind of get it from her point of view, being the Elvis generation of rock and not really grabbing hold of it. But that was the year that I just fell in all the way. And then, you know, George Harrison's Cloud Nine came out that year, so I had that. And, you know, it became about two solid years of me just playing the Beatles as much as possible and absorbing as much as I could. And the thing about Sgt. Pepper is that from beginning to end, it's just one of those albums that you can't, to me, pick one song and go, okay, I'm sated. I need to hear the whole album back to back. And I want to know how you feel about that and if there's any other Beatles albums that you need to listen to that same way.
I feel that same way as you. You know, you can't break up Pepper because it's meant to to kind of play as a concept album. It's meant to play as a pseudo rock opera.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole idea behind Pepper that John and Paul and the other two had was that it was an alias of them, that it was a record that they'd send on tour rather than them going on tour.
Mm-hmm.
So the record takes you through this whole world, and many of the songs take you to their backyard and their home. So for many people, you know, here in America and stuff, you listen to that record and it transports you to Liverpool and to London, and you can't break it up. You need to hear the whole thing while you're sat in front of it and experience it at least once.
Right. Have you ever seen the movie with the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton?
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
I actually like that movie. I know people are divided about it, but the performances are funny, and the renditions of the songs by the various people are good. Maxwell Silverhammer, of course, which isn't on Sgt. Pepper, but Steve Martin singing that, great.
Yeah.
Have you met any of the surviving Beatles in your life, and have you talked to them about how they feel about Rain or Beatlemania or any of the genres of tributes?
Not yet, unfortunately, but my fingers are crossed. I got high hopes.
Have you seen Paul McCartney in concert?
I got to see him through the plexiglass wall at the Rogers Arena in Vancouver. We were playing across the parking lot. Don't ask me how that happened, but we were both in the same city in Vancouver at the same time, same night. So we closed our show. I flew out of my costumes and ran across the street, and I couldn't get in because it was towards the end of his show, but I got to, you know, plant my face against the glass and see him through the curtains and stuff like that. So that was the closest I've gotten yet. But everybody else in the group and camp and stuff like that has gotten to see Paul. I got to see Ringo when I was just a teenager.
The All-Star?
Yep. Yeah. I got to see him with like John Waits and Sheila E., a bunch of other people were playing with him. It was great.
He puts on, or I don't know if he still does the tour, but I've seen it a couple times in Atlanta, and he always put on a great show. The one time I got to see McCartney, I saved up my money because I was working at a radio station, and generally you get free tickets, but there weren't free tickets for Paul. So I got to go, and you know, I felt amazing because it was a Beatle, and they really are rock and roll royalty, and there's no denying that. And, you know, you think about William Shakespeare as an author, and his work is endeared for 500 years. I think when you look 500 years from now and people are still listening to whatever genre of music is popular, the Beatles will still be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And our show is really a testament to that, seeing the different generations coming out to support our act and to celebrate the Beatles really proves that the Beatles will never die.
Are you able to do a Paul McCartney speaking impression at all?
Well, I don't know. It's more of you put me on the spot here.
Sorry.
It's all that. And then it's real tough to really say a bunch of things when you're not across the pond being a Scouser, you know.
Do you guys have a lot of fun on tour?
Absolutely. My band is my brothers. We do everything together. Our chemistry is ridiculous, and we just enjoy the music and playing together. So night after night, it could be in front of 4,000 people or two people, and we're going to have just as much of a blast. I mean, it's definitely a plus to see so many fans come out and support our show, but regardless, we're having such a blast playing the Beatle music.
Do you guys create music together, or are you in a completely different band, or how do you do that so you don't go crazy just playing other people's music? Because I know that you were in a band before.
Yeah. I'm in a band with the drummer back home, the same drummer that I play with Rain, and we play kind of psychedelic pop synth music and stuff like that on the off time, just to keep the creative wheels flowing and keep our chops sharp and stuff like that. So otherwise, the rest of us, we play tons of other stuff together, and just to keep our band, you know, exciting and stuff like that. But within the Beatle catalog, there's still so much that we could be doing and that we are doing, you know, in sound checks and stuff, just to keep that fun going.
I want to hear You Know My Name, Look Up the Number when I come to the show.
We'll have to have you do a sound check. Absolutely.
It is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the 50th anniversary tour, Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. Everybody go right now to foxtheater.org, buy your tickets, or call 855-285-8499. The show is on February 11th. And Paul, I really had a good time talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll see you in Atlanta when you're here.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Two Faces Radio.